just to give me a bit of feedback, you know. Okay. So just before we have our role play, just a few little further comments came to my mind, which I also kind of forgot yesterday. That one thing, for example, in regards to the women being in the back and never seeing the deities or something, like for example in Mumbai, they have the system at Mangalarti that the men are in the front, and then the last 5 minutes the men are parting and making an aisle, and all the women come to the front and they take darshan of the deities. No, it's Juhu. Yeah. I'm not sure if maybe they only do this during the GBC meetings or something. That I don't know, because I have ever only been there during the meetings, so I don't know what they usually do. But I assume, because, you know, Mumbai, this is meanwhile a very cosmopolitan city, you know, with a big nightlife district and everything. So it's not the old, old India anymore. So I could imagine they do this all the time, you know. Which is also kind of a compromise there, a win-win situation and so on, you know. For example, I simply thought I'd share this, so, you know, that there's also some ways of, you know, But the first, you know, 20 minutes or something, it's just the men in the front, and the temple room is very big, and they have these three altars there. It doesn't even make sense to make it side by side, because otherwise you only see, you know, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and you never see the other deities or something, you know. So that's their solution they came up with, you know, that the main time the men are in the front, and then just the last 5 minutes, you know, they have that system, you know. So it's also good. Yeah, then another thing, I think I mentioned it in your in the handout. Once I did talk to Bhaktivedya Purnaswami about this whole thing of mother, you know, how to address a woman, and I told him how I'm serving in this mood of mother in Bangladesh and so on. And then he kind of laughingly exclaimed, he said, yes, as mother, you can control hundreds of brahmacharis, but if you try to be Prabhu, how many can you control then? Not a single one. And of course, the goal is not to control brahmacharis, of course. But he was simply making this comment, you know, confirming that, yes, mother's influence, mother's affection, motherly service is so powerful. So powerful, you know. But if we try and be Prabhu, you know, not very powerful at all, you know. So that was simply, you know, his confirmation he made in a humorous way, you know. And then he was laughingly saying, but don't tell this to, and he mentioned a few names, you know, of ladies who were insisting to be called Prabhu, you know, and he kind of said, don't say that to them, you know. And also another time I had some discussion with Bhakti Purushottam Swami, you know, for those who don't know him, he is one of the leaders in Mayapur. He comes from Orissa, very traditional person, very sweet and deep and chastic, and I work with him in Bangladesh and Nepal. And even though he is so traditional, but he's so, you know, he's so welcoming and so naturally, you know, yes, welcoming towards myself, very approachable, and, you know, it's actually very refreshing to see, you know, how even very, very traditional Maharajas, but he's just so naturally situated in a sannyas ashram, you can feel he just does not feel threatened whatsoever, you know. And for him, it's just so normal to deal with me and work with me, and there's, you know, but it's all paka according to the etiquette, but just very, very welcoming and open and, yeah, actually affectionate, you know. So that's the thing, spiritual culture is actually a culture of affection and care. if one is properly situated and everybody plays their roles. And I really have that experience with him. He has meanwhile really become one of my main sources of inspiration, actually. So in any case, once, and I often double check with him just to make sure I'm understanding things properly and I'm teaching the right thing here, you know. So I'm always, I have discussed these topics with quite a number of Maharajas, you know. One of them is Bhakti Chuswami also. I sent him once a whole thing, the outline of this course basically. And also Nirvanja Swami, Bhakti Purushottam Swami, Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami. So, you know, I'm not just fabricating things here or something, but I'm, you know, I'm double checking, you know. Yes, yes. So anyway, once I talked to him about this whole mother thing, you know, and he's got this really childlike innocence, you know, and he was simply saying to me, what do they want? Mother, it's so affectionate, so respectful. Why don't they like it? And he kind of was chuckling and laughing and, what do they want? You know, that was his, you know, perspective. What the hell do they want? You know, what is there more respectful and more affectionate than mother? Why don't they like it? What's the problem? You know, so from his side, you know, this was his view of it. You know, that he just, you know, Bhakti Purushottam Swami. Yeah, he's very, yeah, he does kids programs in Bangladesh and everything, you know, he's very, you know, very, very nice to learn from and work with and work under, and, you know, yeah. Yeah, he comes from Orissa, from Jagannath Puri, yeah. He's very deep, very Shastric, and, you know, he's a very wonderful personality, you know. I sometimes feel here in the West we need a few more Indian-bodied preachers, you know, just to, because they just carry the culture in their blood, you know, and it's just a whole different thing somehow, you know, when you grow up with that culture, you know. Once he was also saying a pretty sweet thing. He was saying, you know, when I travel sometimes in America, when I get a little lonely, then I get a bag of muri from Mayapur for my suitcase. I always carry a bag of muri. Muri is puffed rice. And when I eat the muri from Mayapur, oh, then I feel so nice. You know? This was Bhakti Purushottam Swami was here, you know. Yeah, so that's the thing. People coming from a spiritual cultural background, they do feel lonely a little bit in places like America, you know. But then he gets his muri bag out. It's a bit of muri. I thought it was really, really sweet. Yes. Also, you know, another thing that might give you some little encouragement. Yesterday we had a little meeting about the men's course we want to give, you know, and we were, you know, brainstorming a little bit. And it kind of really hit me this morning, you know, that yes, if we can convince the men that we women are the auspicious source of energy to them and how much they actually need that feminine energy to be good leaders, then the natural conclusion will be, well, I better take care of my source of energy. You know? Yes. And that's there on all levels. I better value it and respect it and give it all care and protection. You see? And if this is understood on all levels, on the level of family and marriage, on the level of a yatra, you know, then we actually have a very affectionate and caring society, you see. So that means then the men will have to realize and deeply understand the women's needs and natures, and cater for them, facilitate them, you know, on all levels, even within a yatra, that the women really have what they need and they are facilitated, or within marriage that really, you know, the place to live and the whole environment is really conducive, so the women's needs are fulfilled, so she can be the auspicious source of energy, that source of energy remains healthy and strong, you see. But the point is, first, we have to convince the men and we have to give them some experience that we are the auspicious source of energy, you know. As long as we are all competitive and getting on his case and this and that and this and that, then of course they don't trust and they don't have that realization and experience that we are the auspicious source of energy. And then of course they will not feel inspired to give any kind of care and so on, you know. So that's really there on all levels. Even from a brahmacharya's view, he also has to understand that, especially if he is senior, if he's in a leading position or something, all right, he might not have to directly, personally, he himself, cater for the women, but at least he has to have that understanding and that consciousness, you know, valuing the women as a class, being, yeah, you know, a spark of the goddess of fortune there, you know. And there is somewhere also a Shastric injunction that a society who does not value and respect women, I can't remember the rest exactly, you know, are going towards hell, or there will never be any good fortune or something like that. Yeah. So, yes, there's all kinds of quotes like this, you know, which can be applied on all levels, you know. So that's the thing, you know. So, I mean, you can imagine if that time will come when these things are properly taught and everybody is educated, then really things actually can really change, you know. And we can have a really harmonious, you know, society where everybody's needs are fulfilled, the male's needs and the female needs, and we can actually set an example to the outside world how human life is meant to be lived, you know. So I thought I'd simply share this as some kind of a star in the sky there to work towards, you know. Because it might, you know, it might feel a little, a bit discouraging, or it's all our fault, and we, you know, and this and that, and so on, you know, and how will anything ever change, you know, and so on. So we simply, you know, we have to start because, you know, our energy is so instrumental and so powerful, and we have to give the men, you know, some little experience that, yes, we want to be the auspicious source of energy. And then at the same time, if we give them some education as well, you know, then hopefully things can, the whole puzzle, you know, now the puzzle pieces are not falling into place and everything is kind of jammed on all corners, you know, because it doesn't fit and, you know. But I'm convinced that if we really work towards this and at the same time we educate the men, then, because it is also so natural for them, you know. I had quite a few men hearing the recordings on Mayapur TV, and they did express to me, oh yeah, I really like your preaching, you know. So they do appreciate it because, oh, it's such a relief for them actually. So that I do have the hope that they will also then gratefully accept their part as well, you know. And it will all fall into place perfectly, you know. Anyway, so maybe let us have a look now what group number 3 wants to show us.